Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to the 89th anniversary of The Happy Station. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Now, this is a very special weekend for us because it marks the 89th anniversary of the program. The program having begun on November the 18th, 1927. Now, this, of course, is the 89th anniversary. So we're going to hold back because I really think that we should do something extravagant for the 89th anniversary, which is next year. So for this, the 89th anniversary of the program, we're going to bring you one special live Happy Station show that was broadcast September the 18th, 1988. Yes, September the 18th, 1988. So eight eights in a row, actually three eights in a row, which is a very lucky number in Chinese. So sit back and enjoy.
H-A-P-P-Y-S-T A-T-I-O-L Happy Station on the air. Sunday's here again. Dial a smile.
On this typical September Sunday, we've once again left the studios in Hilversum to go out to a wonderful location for an extra live special. Hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. And to those of you around the world listening to their shortwave radios again today, I hardly have to tell you. Indeed, we've gone out of our studios and we've got a large audience here. Where is here? Because I can't remember. I told you over the past few weeks where we would be. Did I, Rosemary? No, I didn't. We really kept it a secret. Well, we are at a place which you have heard about before. But first of all, I'd like to say hello to all our listeners around the world. On behalf of the audience you just heard in such a wonderful applause, not only friends of ours, even relatives of ours, not only colleagues, even older colleagues, and I don't mind saying to those of you who may remember the name that Elke van den Berg, who signed so many of your postcards, is present today. Also a lady from Mexico who is Lupita's mother, and I don't think I told our English audiences yet. I told the Spaniards, or the Spanish-speaking people, but I didn't tell our English-speaking audience that our dear Lupita, who works for us part-time these days, got married last Monday, and her mother came all the way from Mexico to be present. Muy bienvenida a la señora madre de Lupita Kingma, como se llama hoy día, aquí en Arnhem, donde estamos hoy. Well, of course, we've got our technical friends here in the hall with us is Bob Master Spade, as we call him. His real name is Rob Heershop. Then in our van outside, we find Peter Forrest, Peter Bos, and Rob Horsman must be around somewhere. We haven't translated Rob's name yet. And in the studio in Hilversum, we find Mark Eilers, who is there to see to it that you get a good signal. Rosemary is here, as you could tell. Lupita is here, and I also want to thank Mika Hook. Where is she? There she is. She works for our PR department, and today we'll be taking pictures of the whole thing. My name, finally, is Tom Meyer, and we hope you'll enjoy the show. Right, now, where are we? We're in Arnhem, a name you definitely have heard before, and where exactly in Arnhem are we? In the Open Air Museum. Now, many of you will say, yeah, we've heard about that before. Last year I mentioned this open-air museum when there was a threat of this museum being closed, and that threat came, well, not personally, but from the department of our Minister for Culture. And when I told you people around the world that this was maybe about to happen, your postcards and letters just streamed into our office, and we passed all these protests on to the people in power. And I won't say that it was your postcards and letters that changed the decision, but sometime after that, when you were asking us questions about the museum, I could say, thankfully, that for the time being, the museum was still open. We thought it was about time to go to that museum and let you hear more about it, and so that is why we are here today. You know where, you know why, and you know who, but now what? Well, it's going to be, I almost would say, a typical Happy Station show, but it's not going to be so typical because the music you usually hear on Happy Station is light music. Well, it is going to be light, but it is not going to be the light music that you're accustomed to hear on Happy Station. We've got a lot of surprises in store for you, and I think it's about time for the first one. The first piece of music is going to be called, or is called, the Gelderse Serenade. And that's a serenade from Gelderland, which is the province we're in right now. And who's going to play that music? Well, in a way you could say it is Mr. Eef Hofstede. But what is he going to do? Is he going to play the piano? Is he going to sing? Is he going to play the fiddle? No. He is going to operate a gigantic, lovely mortier organ. And that is not a barrel organ, not a street organ. It's a great big fair organ. And the first piece of music he's going to play for us is called the Gelderland Serenade. Thank you. That first piece of music was not called, as I told you, the Gelderland Serenade, but it's almost right, the Gelderse Serenade, played on this huge, giant, fair organ. Another thing I wanted to tell you is that we not only have friends, relatives, visitors present here, but also listeners. Not that they're not friends, but some of our listeners who are close enough to make it to Arnhem decided to come over to Arnhem. And among them, where are you, are Gert Tjirbka and his wife from across the border. Herzlich willkommen. They will know, these listeners who were tuned in last week or 2 weeks ago, that we had an extra special reserve program about mechanical music instruments. Well, we did that on purpose, so now you know everything about mechanical music instruments, such as that giant organ we just heard. I would like to introduce to you now a gentleman who can tell us all about the museum, because obviously if you want to hear something about a location, then you talk to somebody who knows everything about it. I'd like to introduce to you somebody who, for English-speaking audiences, we'll call Jack, although his real name is Koos. And here he is, Jack Stickfoot. I think, Jack, I can safely say you are the PR and information official for the museum. Welcome to our show. And how is it that you know so much about it? When did you start working for the museum, and how did you become affiliated or involved with it?
In 1950, I was in military service in Arnhem. I made preparations for emigration to New Zealand, and I had to have work for 7 months, and I asked...
That was a glass, I'm sorry, I did that.
And they told me, try the Open Air Museum, guiding foreign groups around. I was accepted, and I did guiding in the Netherlands Open Air Museum for the whole summer. The emigration to New Zealand was postponed for a year, and they asked me during the winter period to set up an information department in the museum. And that's how I came into this very nice Open Air Museum in 1951. And since that time, I like this museum so much that I'm still here doing information and PR.
Well, so apparently you decided to postpone your emigration forever after that and to simply hang on, and that's quite some time ago that you joined it. You're still here. I'm glad that you were able and willing to come to the show today to tell us something about it. This was your introduction, so thank you for this first participation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you yet another group of people, in this case. Our audience here have seen them already. Our audiences at home don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a group that we in Holland call het Gezelschap Goed en de Fijn. And if you ask any foreigner to pronounce that, they immediately say Dutch is not a language but a disease of the throat. I'm not even going to try to say that. So in English-speaking audiences, they call themselves Ensemble Goed, Good and Fine, or to make it even easier, the group GGF. But one thing I want to tell you, that there are 5 people involved with this group. You can hear them tuning their instruments. They play, to make it easy on you, medieval music on original instruments. They are even dressed in an attire which goes with that period of our history. And the group is conducted and led by Robert van Lint. GGF, ladies and gentlemen. And before they start playing for you, I would like to tell everybody who's listening at this point that it's a pity that you cannot be present here, because they look exactly the way they play. It's a lot of fun and games when you listen to them. And I have a feeling that Rob himself wants to say something, so let's just see what's going to happen from now on. Rob, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just I want to tell the instruments. The hurdy-gurdy, draailier, dreilier, vierroe, then the backpipe, Dutch backpipe, no Scottish. Scottish rules the waves, I think, but Dutch have the bagpipes. So, and then also one-hand flute, etc. We play for you first a beautiful dance, a dance of the giants, Reuzendans, and after that, Matlood, a dance from Friesland, a part of the Netherlands, or Netherlands, a part of Friesland. Talk about it. Starting!
klokken luiden, reuzen komt uit. Heren weer om, reuzen, reuzen, heren weer om, reuzen, kom. Heren weer om, reuzen, reuzen, heren weer om, reuzen, kom.
GGF with modern pop music from the Middle Ages. Because don't you be mistaken, we've said this before when we were talking about William and Mary, when we played music which nowadays would be called classical music. But in those days when it was written, and some of the music, or a lot of it, wasn't even written down in those days, wasn't meant to be serious music at all. And this definitely sounds very happy. Jack, please come and join me again, because now we know how you joined the museum. How that all started. But now, the museum itself. When, why, and how did it all start?
In the beginning of this century, a lot of traditional things vanished in Holland because of mechanization of agriculture, because of industrialization of handicraft, and a lot of these things vanished. An association of people who wanted to preserve these things went to Scandinavia, where they found a new kind of museum, an open-air museum. That is a park in which you transplant original buildings, show them to the public. In 1912, in Holland, Mr. Heuver started such an association, and they found in Arnhem, because one of the members of the committee was the burgomaster of Arnhem, Mr. Van Heemstra, a place to settle this beginning open-air museum.
When you say, Jack, that these people went to Scandinavia, we have a lot of listeners in Scandinavia, of course. Would you know more, not precisely where, but in which countries they went to inform themselves?
They went to Stockholm, to Skansen, the first open-air museum in the world, founded in 1892.
Well,
a very good example to have a good look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that all our listeners in Sweden will say, ah, so really Skansen was the beginning of the open air museum in Ireland. But anyway, so these people decided to start something of the kind and found a spot in Ireland. But then?
The first thing is to find a place to transplant these buildings. That was given in loan by the municipality of Arnhem. And then they started collecting things for this museum. And when they had 6 farmhouses, turf cabin, a mill, they opened the museum in 1918.
I see. So when you say they started collecting things, we immediately think of little things, old clocks and maybe pottery. But when you say they started collecting things, they started collecting farmhouses and mills. Right, so it was 1912 that the idea was born and the society started, or the association. It took until 1918 before they finally could open the museum to the public. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, you've mentioned the year 1912, and there's another link with the year 1912 for our next piece of music. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have another organ here. It's a tiny little one, and there's a little bit of misunderstanding. I was always told by my listeners abroad that this is the typical hurdy-gurdy. Now, Robert van Lint will never agree because he calls what he has... No, just a minute. He calls what he's got there the hurdy-gurdy. My listeners in the United States say that the little organ that the organ grinder carries on his stomach with the little monkey on his shoulder, that is the typical hurdy-gurdy. And if you look in a dictionary, you'll see in a Dutch-English or English-Dutch dictionary, you'll see that at hurdy-gurdy it says draailier, which is exactly what Robert van Lint has. And the little organ we're going to hear in German is called Leierkasten, and we'll simply call it a tiny little organ. It's got sweet little melodies. The organ, and that's why I said there's a link, was built in 1912 by a certain Mr. Hrubeš, who was a Czech. He lived in Czechoslovakia. And all the melodies on that organ also come from Czechoslovakia. And the only thing I can tell you is that the first little tune we're going to hear is called Solo Profletnu. And I can tell you, it isn't easy to play an organ and make it sound the way it did. And the one who did that for us today is Eve Hofstede. Jack, we're going on with the history of the museum. So it was opened, let's say, in the early 20s or before the 20s. And then?
In the beginning of years, there were only 10,000 visitors a year. The more buildings were transplanted to the museum, the more visitors came. Not only farms, mills and crafts were collected from all parts of the Netherlands. They were broken down by our own personnel, transported, the materials were transported to the museum, and very specific professional workers in the museum rebuilt the farms and the mills and the crafts in the original way. And people came to the museum and could look for themselves how the Dutch lived and worked in bygone days.
How big was the museum at that time? How many acres?
It was about 80 acres, and it was later on extended to 100 acres, which is at the moment.
Such a thing, of course, is not done in a day. How long did it take them after the official opening before they could really say, well, we've got a museum?
I think that is the beginning of this Second World War. about 1940, there were about 40 different items to be seen in the museum. And when I say 40, you must understand that when you go into a farmhouse or you go into a craft, then you find tens, hundreds of different objects in these buildings, because the buildings are installed just as if the people who worked in it, who lived in it, have gone away. So it is, in fact, you can have a look into the kitchen, into the stable, and get an idea of how they lived.
It just looks as though they've left for just a few minutes and can come back any minute. That's the intention. Okay, we've come to, of course, a very important part of our history, the 40s, the early 40s, and we'll talk about that more. Now, however, we are going to listen to our GGF once again. A special hat is worn for this number. I have to tell you that the number they've got for you now, the title is Branle, and it wouldn't mean anything if you weren't given some extra information. You will hear a very special instrument consisting of two spoons. And the one who plays the spoons, who's called Ruud, has four different techniques to play the spoons. And let's see if you can put those four techniques apart. Anyway, I'd like to ask our GGF group now to play the next number, Branle.
Yes, I can tell the name of the dancers, please. First is under the green tree, a tree who can talk to when you ask him, so he gives you an answer. And the second dance is called peanuts picking. And after that, we play the branle, the branle, a dance of horses. So, if you like.
Thank you.
We leave this recording of last week's live show from the Open Air Museum in Arnhem for a minute, because I suppose you've understood in the meantime that that is what you're listening to today on this 25th of September. We didn't make any announcement at the beginning of today's Happy Station show for these transmissions, but obviously you are listening to a recording which was made last week on the 18th. And why do we leave that recording for a moment? Because there are some actual informations which are dated. They are dated the 25th of September. One of the most important is that starting today, we have a frequency change for you. Today, on the 25th of September, Radio Netherlands starts operating its winter schedule, so to speak. And today there are some frequency changes which have become effective, such as for the 10:30 UTC transmission to Australia, the Caribbean, and Suriname. If you look at your old yellow Happy Station schedule, then you'll find two frequencies there, one in the 31-meter band and one in the 49-meter band. Well, the first one in the 31-meter band will be changed. We stay in the 31-meter band, but with a different frequency. 9,675, the old frequency, has been changed into 9,505 kilohertz. So the new frequency, which we are using as of today for that 10:30 UTC transmission in the 31-meter band, is 9,505, 9,505 kilohertz. And if you want all these new frequencies on a new Happy Station schedule, all you have to do is ask for the green star schedule. We call it that, the star schedule, because Rosemary has learned to play with the computer and she's used stars instead of lines dividing the various transmissions. You can ask for that Happy Station schedule, the new one, and for anything else you might want to receive. If we have it, we'll send it to you at Happy Station, P.O. Box 222, 1200 J.G. Hilversum in Holland. Another thing I have to do for today, of course, is the birthdays. For today, the 25th of September, the registered listeners, and we start with twins, William Pringle in Canada and Connie Cooper in the United States, both born in the same year. I'm not going to tell anybody when. Happy birthday to you all. Also to Joseph August in Great Neck, New York, Belinda Fernandez in Zimbabwe, Shanti Bahar in Sri Lanka, Roshan Gonda in India, and also in India, Mr. Somnath Menon. Another one in India, Flight Lieutenant K.R. Nagesh. In Ireland, Mary Foley. Again in India, Mr. S. Venkatesan and Mr. Rohit Ranjan Upadhyaya. In Nigeria, Mr. Sunday Namani. And in England, Brian Bullock. Also, we have one of our princes celebrating his birthday today. That's Prince Johann Friso. I don't think he's listening, but in case you are, Your Royal Highness, many happy returns. Then a letter from Moses Mbortie in Ghana asking me to congratulate his friend, Mr. Adrian Childs, who lives in England these days. Ashoka Patel from India asked me to congratulate two friends, Bhupinder Tuneja in New Delhi and Chanki Pandey in Bombay. That's it as far as the birthdays for today are concerned. And then, obviously, our birthday bad luckers for tomorrow, who skipped the Sunday in this leap year. That's why it's called a leap year. You leap over the Sunday. And they celebrate tomorrow, the poor souls. Elizabeth Rook in England, Robert Tracy in the United States. It's the wedding anniversary of Jan and Anneke Huykershoven in West Germany. Hartelijk gefeliciteerd en dat jullie nog maar vaak deze dag mogen vieren. In England, John Sheldon en Paul Clift. In Canada, George Jampouranis. Hier in Rotterdam, mevrouw Karreman van der Sluis. Hartelijk gefeliciteerd allemaal. Don Rhodes in Australië. Helga Ziebold in de DDR. Maria de Souza in Bombay. Shafiq Kokan in Nigeria. In the United States, Lloyd Green. Then back to Africa to Mr. A. Ndashinamurthy. In Norway, Mr. Tor Ewald Ullingrat. In South Africa, Wolf-Dieter Schubert. In England, Chris Parkins, and you also receive congratulations from Jens Schasich in Leipzig. He wrote us two letters to remind us of your birthday, Chris, so he's really a good friend. James Erho in Nigeria, and Mrs. Rama in India. Then I'd like to concentrate on two letters of people who unfortunately were not congratulated. That is Chamila Amaratunga. She wrote to us because she was so disappointed, and her father did. Well, I think what went wrong is that we must have had an updating action, and you are registered, Mr. Amaratunga, but your daughter isn't. Belated happy birthday wishes. We've now filled your name out and told our computer about it. And please, Mr. Amaratunga, if you have any other relatives you want to have registered, let us know. And then once again, for all of you, this information is important. Mr. Vinay Ahuja from India asked us to congratulate somebody on the 23rd. That was day before yesterday. We only congratulate people on Sundays. So unfortunately, Manosij Guha is not one of them. For all of you who are celebrating, here is our barrel organ with Happy Days Are Here Again. And back to Arnhem last week. And we certainly hope that for all of you who are celebrating something today or tomorrow, even yesterday, it will definitely be a very happy day. With Jack Stickford, ladies and gentlemen, I had come to a part of the history of the Open Air Museum, which, as I said, was definitely an important part for the history of our entire country, you might say for all of Europe, for the entire world, the 40s. And especially when you are in this part of Holland, in Arnhem and surroundings, in these September days, the thoughts of many people will definitely be somewhere else than in the Open Air Museum, or maybe exactly here. We'll talk about that later on. Because today and yesterday, exactly 44 years ago, British and Polish members of the 1st Airborne Division landed at Arnhem to form a bridgehead over the River Rhine for the British Second Army, which was advancing northward from Belgium via the Dutch cities of Eindhoven and Nijmegen. It was in this way that Field Marshal Montgomery hoped to speed up the end of World War II. The 2nd Battalion of parachutists managed to conquer the northern entrance to the bridge at Arnhem, but they were cut off by the unexpectedly effective counteraction of the enemy armed forces. The supply of reinforcements was stopped, and the rest of the bridge, or the rest of the brigade, rather, fought its way back to nearby Oosterbeek, which is not very far from here, after fruitlessly having tried to relieve the bridgehead. In the surrounded town of Oosterbeek, it managed to maintain its position until the 25th of September. And it was in the night of that 25th of September that 2,000 of the 10,000 men were withdrawn over the Rhine to Nijmegen. The ensuing battle was one of the bloodiest in Holland during all of World War II. The population of Arnhem was evacuated. We'll hear more about that later on. A great part of the city was destroyed, and the rest was looted by the enemy. It would take until the 14th of April, 1945, before Arnhem was finally liberated by the Allied forces, and only then could the Arnhemers gradually return to the remains of what was their city. Their liberators, among them also Americans and Canadians, had previously liberated the south of Holland, and no one who witnessed these events will ever be able to forget. Among these people is one of our listeners, Joe Verstappen, a Dutchman who emigrated to the United States and who now lives in Grants Pass in Oregon. At the time of the liberation, he was 14 years of age, and several years ago, he sent me a poem. It will be a great surprise to Joe to hear this today, because he probably thought when he sent me this poem, with a Christmas card, by the way, that he'd never hear about it again. I sent him a telegram, so I hope, Joe, that you're listening to the show today. This is what Joe Verstappen, in the United States now, wrote. A tribute to the 101st Airborne Division. Now, I have to say, these were Americans. September 17, 1944, the most memorable day of the war. The screaming eagles, all duty bound, on parachute jumped to the ground. In St. Oedenrode and surrounding places, we first saw their friendly faces. Our liberators, they came from the sky. Hard to believe, freedom was nigh. The days and weeks that were to follow, they lived in foxhole, trench, and hollow to fight our hated enemy. And fight they did, so gallantly. Gratefully, we will remember those for whom now the bugle blows. For all the screaming eagles that took part, gratitude and pride forever fills our heart. Every year, the population of Arnhem and surroundings commemorates this tragic period in its history and in thankful remembrance of those who finally put a stop to it. They mourn the dead and show their gratitude to the living, the survivors who are able to come back to the former battlefield, hosted this time by those they liberated or their descendants. A foundation was formed called Lest We Forget. Its objective is to keep alive the memory of those who liberated us, and the foundation also assists the surviving veterans of the Battle of Arnhem and their families to be present at the commemorations and the memorial services each year in September, and finds them there hosting Dutch families, among other things. And so every year, during these September days, you will find a World War II veteran in many a Dutch home here in Arnhem and surroundings. There's one with us in this hall today at the Open Air Museum. His name is Stephen Jackson. And Stephen, I'd like to ask you to stand up. And that applause, obviously, is not just for you, Stephen. I hope you'll pass it on to everybody and to everyone you meet during those days here in Arnhem. Well, that was definitely a different item on the Happy Station show, but an item which cannot and should not be forgotten. And we continue now with a piece of music which we thought was appropriate for the subject. It was composed by Johann Sebastian Bach. It's lovely, happy music, but a lot of his music is, and it's going to be played on the barrel organ again. Johann Sebastian Bach, his Menuet and Badinerie from the Second Suite. Thank you. We're going to have music right away again. I don't know if you've got to tune your next instruments or not. I don't think so. But before we hear that, I would like to announce for our people around the world. By the way, this is a live transmission of the Happy Station Show on this Sunday from the Open Air Museum in Arnhem. I would like to say that we'll have a special, an extra special QSL card for everybody who hears one of these transmissions from the Open Air Museum. And it's going to be a lovely one. A color picture, one of the many color pictures of the Open Air Museum. All right, the folks of GGF are ready once again. I don't know how many of you have ever heard music played on a cow horn. Well, you're going to hear four of them, and I was informed by Robert that they're not really cow horns, they're ox horns, but I don't think anybody will be able to tell the difference. Will they?
but you know what are...
Oxes, yes, and I know what cows are too. And let's hear how the cow horns sound when you play them. GGF.
We play for you a beautiful melody. It's called Hoboken Dance. Enjoy yourself. 4-1.
And the Fane or GGF for that wonderful Hoboken dance. I'm going to introduce to you yet another gentleman who knows a lot. His name is Arnold de Jong, and he's going to tell us something, by the way, welcome Arnold, something about a society which we haven't heard about yet. It's the Society of Friends of the Open Air Museum. Why, how, and when did it start, Arnold?
Thank you. It started officially in 1949. The museum was changed from a private museum to an official central governmental museum in 1942. The original founders of the museum had then no any job anymore and started to change their attitude and their role in the museum as a society of friends. Mm-hmm. And it still exists. Uh-huh. Their goal is to support the museum in the most broad sense of the world, of the word, and that means, in principle, to funds raising and voluntary jobs to do special as guides in the museum. That are the main things we are doing in the museum. We have about 6,000 members now. That means we had 4,000, but the difficulties last year did raise our membership to 6,000 as a kind of the attitude of the Dutch people to this museum is in that race.
Well, as you can see, there's always something good and everything bad as well, so it raised your number of members. One question is, which is very pertinent in this program and in all Radio Netherlands transmissions, can people abroad who are interested in the museum become a member of the society as well?
Yes, that's possible. If they send their name to the museum, then we welcome them as a member. And when they are over in the Netherlands, all our members have free entrance in the museum, then they are also welcome in the museum.
All right, so everybody who's listening right now, and not just the Dutch people, and there are Dutch people in our audience, but everyone, in case you would like to support that Society of Friends, I think it would be easier, Arnold, if they write to us because they know our address, and we'll pass all these names and addresses on to you. You can become a foreign member of the Society of Friends of the Open Air Museum, P.O. Box 222, 1200 JG, Hilversum, Holland. You know that address. It's the Happy Station address. Arnold, I think you are a great speaker. You've said it all in a very short time, and we are sort of pressed for time. So thank you very much, and we wish the Society a lot of success in the future.
Thank you. I think we need need it.
Okay, thank you. Arnold de Jong.
We've got for you another little ditty on that little organ from Czechoslovakia. Go ahead, Afe. It's the polka we're going to hear right now. Never been so pressed for time, Jack, but I don't want to leave our audience without you telling us in a nutshell the rest of the history. We landed in 1942. Arnold told us something about what happened then. What happened around the 70s until now, and what's going to happen in the future?
There was a change in the museum in this way, that before the war we had interest in farms and crafts. But since the 70s, we also have interest in industrial archaeology, the monuments of industry. And one of the main examples of it is still standing in Friesland, and a dairy factory, a steam factory, which will be transplanted to the museum in 1992. And I think that's one of the main things of the change in the after the 70s.
After all the unrest last year, we haven't read much about the museum, but we can tell our listeners around the world it is open and it will stay open.
Yes, it will be open. It will stay open, but as of next year, it will be a privatized museum. And how it will look like at that moment and the right time when it begins as a private institution is not yet known.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It started out as a private museum. It then became a state museum. Now it will become a private museum again. We wish you, whichever form of organization you have, a lot of success. I want to thank you for being on the show, Jack. We'll be talking to each other, but we've got to watch the clock. And I'd like to ask you, GGF boys, if you could start your next piece of music. If we're lucky, we can hear about 1 minute of it, and we'll have to use that tape I made in Hilversum, but that doesn't matter. We're going to say goodbye to all of you, wherever you may be around the world, because we are continuing here in Arnhem. GGF has got a lovely story, a love story, about a girl who wants a boy who wants a girl, but the mother gets between them, and it's a lot of rigmarole and trouble. Here they go, to Haarlem in de Houten and the Requiem. GGF.
Yes, and don't forget, we start with a wooden shoe dance, because every deaf man and woman walks during the day on shoes, and why wooden shoes, and why shouldn't they dance? So we start with a wooden shoe dance from 1700, and then the Haarlemmer Wood, not far from the sea.
And while we still go on with music in the Open Air Museum in Arnhem, this is unfortunately where we have to say goodbye to you. We hope you enjoyed this show. We hope you enjoyed everything you heard about the Open Air Museum and all the other information. We hope you liked the music we had for you today. And now, on behalf of everybody here in Holland involved with the production and presentation of this Happy Station show, this is Tom Meyer wishing you all the best. See you again next Sunday, and until then, God bless.
a special live edition of the Happy Station Show broadcast September the 18th, 1988. Now this, as I said, is the 89th anniversary of the show, and believe it or not, we've already started working for next year's 90th anniversary, which is, well, it's a bigger number. It's a bigger number. So we didn't want to do anything, of course, too extravagant this time around. But next year, that's all I can say. Okay, that's it. That's all we have time for. If you want to get in touch with us, PCJQSL@PCJmedia.com. On behalf of everyone here at PCJ Radio International, and also those listeners who sent in greetings for our 89th anniversary, thank you very much. Something is actually going to be sent to you very soon in the next few days. So, until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is the happy station, calling everyone of every nation. Everyone was in the fun, we've got the blues run on the road.